I will share with you five broad mechanisms of action that can explain the clinical and neuroscientific observations we see in all mental disorders. I'll show you that all the known contributing factors to mental illness, including things like genetics, inflammation, neurotransmitters, hormones, sleep, alcohol and drugs, love, heartbreak, meaning and purpose in life, trauma, and loneliness, can be tied directly to effects on metabolism and mitochondria. I'll demonstrate how all these contributing factors affect metabolism, which then affects the function of cells, which can then result in symptoms of mental illness. You'll learn that all current mental health treatments, including the psychological and social ones, likely work by affecting metabolism. This new understanding of mental illness leads to new treatments, ones that offer the hope of long-term healing as opposed to just symptom reduction. They will sometimes be more difficult than just taking a pill, but they are well worth the effort. While more research will lead to additional new treatments, the exciting news is that many therapeutic options are available today. To be clear, I am not the first to suggest that metabolism and mitochondria are related to mental illness. In fact, I am building on decades of research. Without these other researchers and their pioneering work, this book wouldn't exist. I'll share many of their groundbreaking studies in the pages to come. However, for the first time, this book puts the pieces of the puzzle together to reveal one coherent theory. This theory integrates existing biological, psychological, and social research and offers one unifying framework for explaining and treating mental illness. Brain energy not only provides long, elusive answers, it offers new solutions. I hope it will end the suffering and change the lives of millions of people throughout the world. If you or someone you love is affected by a mental illness, it might just change your life too. Part 1, Connecting the Dots. Chapter 1, What We're Doing Isn't Working, Mental Health Today. The World Health Organization estimated that in 2017, almost 800 million people on our planet suffered from mental health disorders. This represents a bit over 10% of the world's population, or one in every 10 people. When substance use disorders are included in the count, the number climbs to 970 million people, or 13% of the global population. Anxiety disorders were the most common, affecting about 3.8% of people around the world, followed by depression, affecting about 3.4%. Rates of these disorders are higher in the United States, with approximately 20% or 1 in 5 people diagnosed with a mental or substance use disorder. These numbers give us a snapshot of the prevalence of mental disorders over a specific one-year period, but lifetime prevalence rates are much higher. In the United States, data now suggests that about 50% of the population will meet the criteria for a mental disorder at some point in their lives. Yes, half of all people. Estimating the rates of mental illness is difficult. People often deny their mental health problems to others or even to themselves. Having a mental illness is stigmatized pretty much everywhere in the world. While societies have made important strides in recognizing things like depression and anxiety disorders as real illnesses, this progress is relatively recent, and it is far from universal. There are still people who see those suffering from these disorders as simply whiny or lazy. On the other hand, while people with psychotic disorders are usually believed to have real illnesses, they face a different kind of stigma. Many people are afraid of them or dismiss them as crazy. Then there are those with substance use disorders. Not only do many see them as self-centered or morally weak, in some countries, such as some Middle Eastern ones, they are classified as criminals and can be incarcerated for using even alcohol. The effects of stigma can range from shame to outright discrimination, but stigma of any kind can motivate people to minimize or lie about symptoms. As such, prevalence statistics are most likely underestimates of the true scope of these disorders. And as dire as these statistics are, the problem seems to be getting worse. A growing epidemic. We have the best data for this in the United States, where researchers have been tracking